Morning. Good morning. It's so nice to see all of your beautiful faces. So last night I was reading in Jesus Always and just kind of trying to set my sights on the Lord before going to sleep because I feel like I get more peaceful sleep that way. And I was reminded, it was actually really perfect timing, that God cares about the things that are going on even more than we do. And so it's super important that we are not allowing the things, the busyness of the day-to-day stuff, to take away and kind of get us distracted from Him, right? It's like, actually, it's okay to do what you need to do. Do the part that you can, but don't stress what you can't. Lay it down before the Lord and allow Him to, and to show up and give Him opportunity, because then we're able to watch Him and how much He does love us and how much He does know us. So today, as we get ready to worship, I would just love for you guys to set those big things aside. You've done what you can do with them. Do not stress them anymore, but allow the Lord. Like, it's okay to make pleas with Him, and it's okay to, you know, lay those things down before Him. It's not that He doesn't know. But there's something about us being able to trust Him with it, laying it down at His feet and allowing Him to work in it and trusting His timing. So Jesus, we just invite You here today. God, I just love Your presence, and I'm so thankful that You provide. Even when it's not in my timing, God, Your timing is perfect. And I'm just so thankful that even though I make mistakes and I don't always do things right, God, that You meet me even still and that You call me Your own. So we just invite You to just be here in a very tangible way today, God, that as we worship You, You would smell the sweet, sweet aroma of our love for You. In Jesus' name.
Let's stand together, church. Sing it again, I'm your beloved. I am your
So I want to speak a word of freedom in this house. I want to speak a word of release in this house, of mindsets that are, I have to do so much. I have to serve this much. This is the way it is for Jesus to love me. You don't have to do a thing. He loves you as much as he's ever going to love you. And I'm just speaking a word of release over our spirits this morning. There's nothing that we can do or have done that could actually earn any more of the Father's love. So be released this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. And just sing to him. He is your beloved just like you're his. Can we just do that one more time?
The one who knows me best. He's the one who loves me most. There is nothing I have done that could change the Father's love.
Yes, sing the one.
Oh, the one
This is Romans 8:15 and 16 from the Message, so it's a little different translation. It says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" I love that. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children. We're children of God. One of the translations says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit so that we can cry, Abba, Father, which does mean Papa. It means Daddy. A lot of us think that it's too irreverent, childish to call our Heavenly Father Daddy. But I think it gives us the right position. It gives us the right heart. That He's not a God that's just off in some distant place, that we're trying to stay good enough here so that we can remain in His graces so that someday maybe we can go to heaven and not go to hell. No, it's about that we have access to the Father as children. I mean, what parent wouldn't want their kids to run to them? and pick them up into their arms. That's why Jesus so fittingly said, it takes the heart of a children to enter the kingdom of God. The heart of a child. And so I'd like us to sing this again. And this time when you say, I am a child of God, speak it to yourself. Don't just sing it into the air. Speak it to yourself. I am a child of God. If you have to just quit singing for a minute and listen to what you're saying, because there's truth behind those words. It is biblical that we are children of God. And we're not just children that, you know, he's abandoned someplace until we, you know, find our way home. No, he's with us right now. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And isn't that good news? Amen. Let's do that again, team.
Thank you. done.
Put your hand on your heart and sing that.
I am a child of God.
Believe it now.
I am a child of God.
So, I've been blessed in my life that I have a father who just acknowledges me. He knows me enough to acknowledge me. And then I have a man who stepped in and was my dad. God is not a father who just acknowledges you because you got saved or because you went to church or because you did a good thing. He doesn't just acknowledge you. He is your dad. He is the one who steps in and brings joy and is with you in the joyous times and holds you when you're crying. He is your Abba. He is our dad. And just like my dad that he gave me, who went through me with some of the worst times in my life and took in where he took me in because, and he didn't have to. That's the way Christ is. That's the way Jesus is. He didn't have to go to that cross for us. He wanted to. He wanted to step in, and he wants us to acknowledge him as our dad, not just our father.
That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're children of God. Well, why don't you take a few minutes and greet each other, and God bless you. Thank you, team. Well, does anybody know what time it is? Declaration time. And why are we making declarations? We're making declarations. Anybody answer the question? What? Speak life into the valley. Exactly. Says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we're not only declaring, we're also making this a prayer to God at the same time. How many of you know that God would have it that none would perish and that Yakima would be saved? That's the heart of God. So we're just agreeing with what he wants to do here. So on, we got to get the first slide here. On three, why don't you stand up with me? Let's make it so that we can, our lungs are clear and can, if you can. On three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we do. We thank you right now for this city. We thank you, Lord, that this is where you have us in this part of our life, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, for being here. And Father, we pray right now, Lord, for Yakima. We pray for the businesses. We pray for the schools. Lord, we pray for every area of government, God. We pray, Lord, that you would just let your power, your glory, your spirit rest upon Yakima. Lord, we pray for the churches. Lord, we pray for the pastors. We pray for the congregation members. Lord, we pray for everybody, Lord, that will help influence people for your kingdom, Lord. We pray you'd bless them, you would encourage them, Lord, you draw them to yourself and help them to become who you've called them to be. Lord, we pray against the darkness that has come in and swept in and tried to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, we ask that you would just send your workers into the harvest fields, Lord. Send your angelic forces, God, and heavenly resources, Lord, to help stop them, Lord, and bring them to a place of repentance, a place where they're depending on you, not on drugs, not on criminal activity, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Yakima would be a safe place, a place where people could be here and not have to worry about anything, Father. And we thank you that you are desiring, Lord, to have your will fulfilled here. And we agree with that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we have a few announcements. In 30 minutes, we're going to have a church barbecue downstairs, not on the patio like we were going to have it before, because it was supposed to have rained, but now it's like looking beautiful outside. So the weatherman failed me. Anyway, it did rain this morning. Did anybody like have, oh, that was crazy, wasn't it? Yeah. Lord, let it rain down in here like it rained down in physical this morning. Okay, next one, please. The Gathering. 509. Now, this is going to be at Living Faith Victory Center at 7 p.m. on Friday night. Am I getting all it correct? And it's not even up there. I just remember. Okay, good. Now, this is a gathering for youth, but I mean, if you guys want to, bring a youth with you, you can come and you're not going to get turned away at the door, but it's really a youth gathering. What's that? Young in spirit. There you go. Young in spirit. And the idea is for youth from all over Yakima to gather together with one theme, Jesus Christ. And we have a short video to show you.
Friday, March 11, 2022.
Over 80 people, spanning over multiple youth groups from all around the Yakima Valley, gathered for one reason.
Gathered for one reason and one reason only. Jesus.
Jesus. Coming together in unity as the church, worship styles, denominations,
and opinions laid aside for one reason and one reason only, Jesus.
Jesus. Not to praise anyone ministering for hype, not for the crowd or the stage, only for Jesus.
Only for Jesus. The only name that can heal.
The only name that can resurrect.
The only name that can turn Yakima upside down. For
one reason. On Friday, June 17th, let's gather together again and lift up the only name that matters. Jesus.
The only name that can heal.
The only name that can resurrect.
The only name that can turn Yakima upside down. For one
on Friday, June 17th, let's gather together again and lift up the only name that matters. Jesus.
Next slide. Yeah, so again, that's going to be this Friday. Make sure that you... Oh, June 17th. Did I say this Friday before? Oh, you see, you got to correct me. Yeah, so... Yeah, because I'm... okay, that's right. Today is actually the 5th, isn't it? That's right. Okay, 12 days. All right, so backyard worship nights are starting up again. So we're going to have our first one, June 25th. That's at Eric and Nancy's place. We'll have the address here the next couple of weeks. But if you need the address, you can text us if you don't have it. And it's a great time. We do worship outside. We pray. We just have a great time of fellowship. There's some snacks. So I encourage anyone to come to that. Please do. And then, thank you for giving. All those have been giving and sharing their finances and their tithes and offerings. It helps keep the lights on. And if you would like to give, you can give in the front up here, you can give in the back, or you can give at onelifefamilyworship.com. And with that, going to have Moses come up and share. Come on, Moses.
No, right? Amen. I got that on ring? All right.
I think so.
All right,
it's good. Yeah, it takes a couple of seconds.
Okay. Got
it, guys. Sounds like it.
All right. Bless you all this morning. Amen. Good to see you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know why I feel a little different. But you know, the worship was great, and it started just ministering in the spirit of the same thing we've been. What the word was for today, you know, putting our focus on the Lord, especially in today's times. You know, people are looking for answers and seem distressed, and even the church, us as believers, you know, have been shaken to our core. A lot of stuff going on, you know, within our communities, within our politics, within our finances. You know, me and my wife were having a conversation about losing faith, you know, and weakening faith, you know, and just the whole topic of faith, you know, and this is where this derived from, you know, because, you know, it we're natural, we're human. We feel our surroundings, you know, our communities, you know, we hurt for our communities, we hurt for our neighbors, we see what's happening all around us, you know. So how do we, you know, a lot of people, and then you hear the world cry out, where's God in all this? Where's God? Where is God? You know, of course, everybody's heard of what happened in Texas. You know, where's God? You know, there is no God, you know. But the people who don't believe and want to put fingers and stuff, you know. And then you have the people, you know, that laugh and you just... The thing that irritates me is, you know, we don't need your prayers and thoughts. We need action, you know. And that's the first thing that God calls us to do is pray. Pray. Don't let the world mock you for it. Don't let the world weaken you. Don't let the enemy weaken you for it. Prayer is effective. Prayer is what we need. So when I started focusing on this, do not lose the focus on the Lord. Keep your sight on the things of God. That's what the world needs today. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. Be that salt. Be that difference. Because, you know, the world is looking. And right now, man, you just feel it. And in basketball terms, you feel the enemy just feels like he's putting full court press. Just full court press right on. You know, for those who don't know basketball analogy, you know, usually when the team scores, they inbound the ball, the defense retreats half court. And but when they're in desperate mode, they put pressure on the ball. As soon as it is inbounded, they put full pressure all the way down the court. You know, that's what the enemy's doing. And that just shows me signs of desperation from the enemy because he knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. You know, we need to rise up in our faith. We need to overcome those little obstacles, the confusion that the enemy is throwing at us. And with all that, you know, I had some scriptures going down. I was reading. And let me see if I can put all this together. Mm-hmm. The first one that came to me was, you know, in Ephesians, you know, 6:12. It's a very well-known verse. We do not battle against flesh and blood. You know, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These things are all taking place right now. It always has. But the Lord has armed us with the word of God to conquer this stuff. That's why it is important for us to keep praying.
Amen.
That's why it's important for us to get a prayer life at home. You know, because we need that. We need that because that's the full court press right there. The enemy is just bam, 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 just attack, attack, attack. And he feels like he's in full attack mode, especially the families. The family unit, the family structure has been under attack for a long time now.
Yeah.
It is so confused right now. And you say, where is the church? Where is the church? The church is you and I. You know, we have to hold on to our families. We have to, don't, moms, dads, don't stop praying. Grandma, grandpas, don't stop praying. We need to pray. We need to get back into focus on the things of God. We cannot let the world dictate the rules and everything that our family should be. No, Jesus defined what the family unit should be. God is not a God of confusion.
Yes.
God is not a God of confusion. He knows the family unit. The enemy also knows the family unit. Once he destroys the family unit, chaotic.
Yeah.
It goes chaotic. I was watching a documentary one time and it was done on elephants. It was crazy because these elephants in India were just ransacking the whole village. So they, you know, they brought in the experts, they're studying. Well, what they had found out was the bull elephant was killed. So all these young adult elephants were just literally they videotaped them just going through the streets, flipping over cars, going through houses. So what they did as an experiment, they grabbed a big bull elephant and they put him in there in the herd again. And they showed the bull elephant just throwing all those young kids back in line. And they all got back in line and they marched out of town. It was just amazing. The family unit needs to be together.
Wow.
You know, it's chaotic right now. It doesn't matter how the world defines the family. The family unit is the family, how is the Lord gave it to us. You know, and I know tragedies happen, and I know things happen in family units, you know, but there's still God's grace and mercy for all that, to bring it together, you know, and that's what we need to be. Don't let the world define what your family is. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God, and He'll teach you, and He'll instruct you. I know I'm not the perfect dad. I'll admit that. I'm not the perfect dad. I have my ups and downs. But the one thing that we do have in common is the Word of God. I can always go back to the Word of God. You know, mom and dad, You might argue, might fuss and fight, but what you should have in common is the Word of God. That should be the foundation of your marriage, of your families, because out of that comes love. Out of that comes peace. Out of that comes stability for your children to be nurtured and grow up in. That's what we need. We need to focus right back to what the Word of God is on the definition of family. Because everything, I remember I was talking to a pastor one day, and he said, everything that the world offers is counterfeit. It's counterfeit to what the Word of God is.
Yeah.
Pleasure, a little bit, yeah, but at what cost? Happiness, the world offers happiness, but at what cost? It costs you the destruction of your soul. And it deteriorates. And it separates you from the love of the Father. That's everything that the world has to offer. Confusion, chaos, heartache. We don't need that. We are the salt of the earth. Just like in worship today, we need to enact that. The Father loves us. And like Pastor was saying, I had a hard time using daddy. You know, I grew up in that. Hey, my father's my father. You know, boom. But I know who my Father is. You know, I know who my Father in heaven is. And I love him. And I do call him daddy now. It was a weird mental transition for me. But you know, he does care for us. You know, a lot of you know my background where, you know, I lost my dad at an early age. So I found out who God really is, you know, and in that love that only God can give, that peace that only God can give. Growing up, you know, I had a good relationship with my father, you know, all the way up to the age of 13, you know, and I do remember him, and he was a man of God, had his ups and downs, but the one thing that I do, and he showed me, and I've shared this with before, you know, when he said one time, you know, I don't have money, I don't have houses. He goes, but my son's inheritance shall be the Word of God. You know? And it is. And I'm thankful. And it is great. Because that's what I have with me. That's what I share with my family. And that's what we have to... And we have to grow in that faith where you can't let the world overcome you and start defining these things. I remember growing up in the church, you know. In today's world, now we give, you know, they teach you how to live with depression, how to live with anxiety, how to live with all these different things that the world is throwing at you. I'm saying cast them out in the name of Jesus. Cast them out right now in the name of Jesus. We do not, once you start getting away from the fleshly minded person and get into the person who you really are in the spirit and align your spirit up with God, that's nonsense. I'm not saying it doesn't really happen. I've dealt with a lot of different things in life. But once you grab the hold of the Father, it all falls away. Once you start focusing on Jesus, it all falls away. It becomes clear. I'm telling you right now, we don't have to live as a body. We don't have to live with that kind of stuff. We don't have to live with those plagues and everything that the world has to throw at you. We don't have to. You know, no, that's the enemy again attacking our mind. That's the enemy attacking our mind, attacking our spirit. He wants to separate you from the love of God. That's his goal. That's his plan. He wants to kill you, your family, your children, everything else that goes with it. Everything. There is no truth in him. There is none. So when you hear those whispers, oh, and it starts bringing you down, you start claiming the blood of Jesus, get in your prayer closet, put on some worship music. That's what I do. I'm not immune to this stuff. I'm not. Our pastors are not. We get attacked daily.
Yeah.
All that old garbage he tries to put in my head still. Stuff that I left behind. But now I say, I know who I am in Christ. I know the mercy that I live in. I know the grace that I walk in. It has no effect on me. Yeah, there's sometimes I'll get into a pity party sometimes. You know, I'm like, but I shake myself off. I know, like, there's a bigger picture to this. The bigger picture is your neighbor, your children, your grandchildren. The bigger picture is somebody else. That's what Jesus did. He shared his love with everybody.
That's good.
He sat down, and he sat down with the sinners, and the sinners were transformed. They were transformed either at that moment or at the cross. But they were transformed. You know, and that's the difference. We don't have to live in our lows. We don't have to wallow in it. We don't have to wallow in the dirt. You don't. You are the sons and daughters of God. Amen. You are the son. Accept that. Accept that. Live in that. Walk in it. It's a different walk. Because if you're expecting changes to come from Olympia, Washington, D.C., at work, or anywhere else, they're not going to happen. They're going to be bickering. They've been bickering and fighting since the foundations of this country and the earth. Countries and kingdoms have risen and fallen since the beginning of time. They've never agreed, you know? But there's one constant, and that's the Word of God, and that's Jesus Christ, who, thank God, He came and died for us. So get rid of that confusion. If things don't ring with your spirit, that's why it's very important to have the Holy Spirit and get the discernment of the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you right from wrong. He guides me. And I have a discussion with pastor like that. He speaks to me in a different way. I know he talks to every, it's like a father and has many children. He knows who he can be stern with, who he can be firm with, who we can, and the Lord speaks to me in very harsh terms. You know better. I've heard that before. What are you doing? I've heard that before. But that's the whole, that's not how he deals with me personally. He'll deal with each and every one of you all in different ways. How the Lord sees fit your heart. Because I know some people are too tender-hearted. They won't take that. You know, but he knows when to give a guiding hand, a hug. I remember growing up, and my dad would always, he was the one, he never spared the rod, that's for sure. You know, when I remember growing up, and he had the switch there by the door or his belt, you know, and well, me and my brother would dance. Like, hey. And then, but I remember the transition when I got into my teen years. And I can't even remember what I did. And my mom says, just wait till your dad gets home. My mom never disciplined us. It was always my dad. And my dad, like I said, he never spared the rod or the belt. And I was just sitting so nervously, like, man, dad's going to get home. When he gets home, my mom's going to tell him. And sure enough, you know, my dad gets home, and she says, I need to talk to you. And I'm sitting on the sofa, and I'm like, I'm going to get a whipping. You know, I'm like, oh, man, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. And then he goes, Moy, come here. I'm like, oh, let's go outside. Outside. That's gonna be a really big one. I got really scared. I'm like, outside? He never takes me outside. He just doesn't, you know, hey, let's go. Yeah, I'm like, well, what's going on? And I remember he put his arm around me. And we walked outside, and he goes, son, you're old enough now. You know right from wrong. I don't need to be on you. And I was just like, man, can I just get the whipping? Because it hurt so much how my dad loved me and how he felt. And I was like, and I remember that transition. And my dad just put his arm around me. You know better. I've taught you better. You know right from wrong. You're not a child no more. And I'm like, oh, man. And it hurt. That one hurt more than all those spankings and whipping. I'm like, man, can I just get the spanking? That way I'm done and over with. But it hurt. You know, that's how the father will react. Hey, come on, guys. We're not infants no more. You know, we go back into the Word. You know, in Ephesians, again, 4. That we may no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all body fitly framed and knit together, through which every joint supplieth, according to the working due and measure of each, part. But you know, that's why we have to be united with God. So we're not chasing every doctrine. I mean, I grew up in the church. I heard every kind of craziness, you know, and you know, woo, 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 to give me your money. You know, I know all the financial blessings. You know, come on, brother, the more you give, the more you make. You know, and you know, I grew up in the church. I heard all the foo foo, all the craziness. You know, and I was like, no, thanks. You know, but the heart of it is the Word of God. Even in its diluted form, it's still more powerful than anything that this world has to offer. Everyone says, well, how do you know it's been translated so many times? And, you know, how do you know you're getting the real word? How do you know this and that? I look at it, even if it's in its diluted form, it's still more powerful than anything on this world. That's the way I interpret it. That's the way I think. Because God is God. God is God. Him speaking separated the light and the darkness. Just with him speaking, the water separated from the earth. Just with him speaking, you were created. Just with his breath. With one breath, you were created. That's love. That's powerful. You know, we cannot lose focus on what God has for us today. We are the answer for what the world is searching for. Proclaim the truth. Proclaim the truth. Don't be afraid of it. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Sometimes I'm saying, what am I going to say to this person? And next thing you know, I'm speaking to this person. I'm like, who is that? You know, the Holy Spirit will give you utterance, as the Word of God says. He'll give you the right thing to say at the right time for that person who needs to hear it. I truly believe that because this has happened to me. I truly believe that. Be a vessel for God. Be a vessel. He said, don't let the world dictate what you can and can't do. Don't listen to that. That's the enemy. Don't listen to that. Rebuke it. Cast it out. Oh, you'll never be good enough. Oh, he wants to keep you in those states of depression. He wants to keep you in the states of anxiety. He wants to keep you in whatever state of mind you're in, because he knows that'll affect your body. That'll affect your health. It just snowballs into many different things. You don't want that. That's not of God. That's not of God. Focus on the things of God. Focus on the things of God. Be transformed. Be transformed. That's what he calls us to do. And there, you know, Romans 12, 2. We all know that one too. And being ye not fashioned according to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let the world transform your mind into what it's thinking. Get into the Word of God. What does God have to say? What does God have to say? You know, he describes us as the body. You know, and in that verse, you know, he says some people are the hands, some people are the feet, some people, you know, sometimes you think, well, what does that pinky toe do? What does that pinky toe do? What does it do? You know, sometimes I feel like the pinky toe, useless. Like, what is it? But is it really useless? Later on, I found out that it helps you balance. Helps with your balance. You know, it may not be as important as the thumb, where you can't tie your shoes without your thumb, but it's still an important part. No matter how big or small you think you are an important part of the body of Christ. You are a difference maker. Get into the Word. Stop listening to the world of who you are and what it wants you to be. No, don't listen to that. Get into the Word of God. Get into your prayer closet, and he'll define who you are. He'll tell you who you are, because he made you. Yes. He knows who you are. He knows your potential. It doesn't matter what the world says. Like I said, I know we're bombarded daily. Just boom, boom, boom. And wherever you look, the Bible says, keep your hand on the plow. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep it on there. My mom's last words to me was, camina derecho, walk straight. Go straight forward. Don't look back. Don't look to the sides. Go straight forward. Those were my mom's last words to me. You know, and it was like, okay, you know. And get purpose. Get divine purpose in your life. It doesn't matter how big or small you think that purpose is. Whether you're up here teaching or at home praying, there's no difference. You're involved in the kingdom of God. You're a difference maker.
That's how the world's going to change. That's how the family structure comes back into one again, and one according to the Word of God. Be the difference maker in your home. Yes. Start there first. It's simple. You know, me and my wife, when we were growing up, you know, we started having our family, you know. And it was basic Christianity 101. Our kids would get sick. I'd lay hands on them. I go, that's what we believe. That's what we profess, don't we? I go, it shouldn't be that hard. Especially at home. No, you're not in front of everybody, you know. It's your private moment. It's to practice what you believe. It's easy. It's easier. It should be easier at home. You know, laying your hands on your children. Your children should see you praying, mom and dad. Your children should see you praying. My dad was a very proud man. He was the kind that wouldn't cry. But there was one place I would see him cry, and that was at the altar, or when he was praying and worshiping God. And I would say, man, why is dad crying? You know, I was a little kid, and why is dad crying? But my dad was, you know, was a hard man. He didn't show emotion, you know. But when it came to the things of God, he was fully surrendered. And that's what I grew up with, seeing that. And it's time to get the eyes of the Lord, too. And with that transformation, you start seeing the needs of the people. You stop focusing on yourself. Oh, Lord, woe is me. And you start focusing on, wow, my brother really needs help. Wow, my brother needs a helping hand. And in Matthew 9:36-38, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep, not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciple, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. That's how your focus changes. All of a sudden, Jesus saw the fields like, man, so much need out there. So much. Are you going to be a willing laborer when Jesus calls on you? Are you going to be that person that can be able to lean on? Because there's more to this than just woe is me or my challenges of the day. Because Jesus knew that the answer was in serving. The Lord served. And he grew greater and greater. There's power in serving. There's power in being there for your loved ones. Even for your enemies. The Lord even taught us to pray for our enemies. You know, sometimes it's very hard. That's very difficult for some of us, you know, to think of our enemies and pray for them. The Lord also teaches us to pray for our politicians, our leaders, our government. I know we don't rely for them for the answers, but the Lord tells us to pray for them because they're in leadership roles. Pray for our pastors. You say, well, what can I pray about? These are the things I'm telling you to pray for. You know, pray for your community. Pray for your loved ones. Simple, basic stuff. You know, we need that transformation to happen in our own walk. We need to activate what we've read, what we've believed, what we professed. We need to activate it in ourselves, in our spirit. Our spirit wants to. The Holy Spirit wants to. He wants to activate it. But he's only willing to use a willing vessel. Are you going to be that willing vessel to let the Lord work through you? You know, there's so much work, people. There's so much work. You know, like I say, I keep focusing. There's so much need. And that's why I love the church, you know, when we have that proclamation for the city, for our politicians. We need to start. You know, when the world is laughing at us and saying, oh, we need more than, we need action. You know, this is the action that the Lord. That right away reminds me of the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying. And the disciples couldn't, they kept on falling asleep. And Jesus came back, hey, can't you pray for me for 1 hour? You know, and they would fall asleep and Jesus found them again. Hey, well, just 1 hour, guys. You know, and then Jesus, in agony because he knew it was going to happen. See, that example also goes to the fleshly Jesus. His sweat was like blood because he knew it was going to happen. He knew he was going to die. He said, Lord, let this cup pass over me, but not my will, but your will. Because this flesh wants to live. This flesh wants to live. It was made from here. It wants to live. But at the end, Jesus surrendered that flesh and said, not my will, but yours. And when he came back and he saw them sleeping, to me, I equated it to the church just sleeping. The enemy comes in, and all of a sudden, where was their sleep? All of a sudden, they want to fight. And he lops off the ear of one of the soldiers and said, "Let's fight." Hey, the fighting's already been done. Jesus came out, "Hey, man, I told you guys to pray with me for an hour," because that's where the battle was being fought.
Yes.
In the prayer closet. He was praying. And all of a sudden, and to me, I started, when I read that scripture, where did their sleep go? They couldn't stay awake for an hour. Now they want to fight? Now they want to fight? Now they, you know, they lopped off the soldier's ear and he wants to fight? No. No, Jesus said no. The hour today, this is the hour of the darkness, you know? And that's who we are as a church. That's sometimes how we are. I feel sometimes that we're very reactionary. Oh, let's fight. Let's go. Let's get a political movement. Let's get active. Let's go do this. No, it starts right now in our prayer closet. It starts right now with getting intimate with Jesus. It starts right now with yourself. Hey, there's a bigger picture than self. There's a bigger picture out there. Your neighbors, your loved ones, you know, and God is good. God is good. So don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Let Jesus guide your path. Let Him show you the direction you need to go in, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. He wants to use you. Be a willing vessel. That's all I ask. You know, and I thank you for this time that you guys allowed me to speak a little bit. You know, I really pray for that. You know, I pray for each and every one of you. And don't be held back. Don't let the enemy lie to you that you're this, you're that. Don't let that burden of the weight of the world just keep you from doing what God wants you to do. There's so much work that needs to be done. I'm not going to go. We won. The only reason that they go full court press is because they're in desperation. Usually teams that are behind will enact that full court press. The enemy knows he's behind. The enemy knows that his time is limited. That's why he's putting that full court press on there. But don't. There's a way out. And that's Jesus. And we have the answer. Thank you very much. And bless you guys. And love you, every one of you guys. Amen.
Let's stand, church. Let's worship one more time. Thank you, Moses. just receive it. I just declare, Lord, I declare over every heart here that they would be filled with your presence, with your glory. God, I pray that as we seek after revival in our city, Lord, that we would all start in our homes. Like Moses was saying, I just pray right now that each of our homes would just be filled with your presence, that we would have homes that are praying homes, homes that are Bible reading homes, homes of revival. And that when we come here on Sundays, it would just be overflowing out of us. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are, what you're calling us to. Thank you for this house. Thank you for our pastors. Thank you for our city. Yeah. And I just pray a blessing over everyone here. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. All right. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to eat. So downstairs, let's go eat. Amen. Downstairs, let's go eat. Amen.